Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, well, we have the big birthday party coming up tomorrow, 25 years on the air. It was actually last Thursday was the date-specific 25th birthday of 97.1 FM Talk going on the air in the year 2000. We're going to visit with some of the people that made it happen over the years, including the guy that shifted shows with me, Dave Glover, went over to KMOX. It was like a trade. I never forget it. I was about to hit golf balls, and my bosses called, and they said, "Are you ready for this? We're going to flip your show with Glover's show," and I was getting sent over here with a player to be named later, I think, or something like that. That might have been Fred. And Glover goes to KMOX, but he's going to swing by for a visit. John Beck, who was the general manager, and really, really a radio legend here. John is in St. Louis for all he accomplished, and he just recently retired. Mark Cox is going to co-host the show with me. Annie will be there. We'll have the entire team, Sue and Fred and Ethan. We have Congressman Onder stopping by and a bunch of other folks. So it starts tomorrow from the Lit Cigar Lounge in the district out in Chesterfield. Get off at Boone's Valley. You can't miss us. We'll be on the air from 3 to 6. I think the party officially goes to 7 or 7:30 or until it's over, right? You know, who knows? We'll figure it out. We're just going to have a good time tomorrow afternoon with everyone out there showing up. If you don't have VIP tickets, those are sold out. We're joined right now by Duane Patterson, who writes at hotair.com. He's the host of the Duane's World podcast. I wish we could fly in there from Southern California, get you to the party tomorrow. But,
well, that would be kind of fun, actually. Happy anniversary, and I was wondering if there was any draft picks involved in the trade.
This radio station is very unique, and you know, for many years, when the ownership wasn't the same, I was competing against this radio station, doing an afternoon drive on KMOX, and I was always kind of looking behind my shoulder, saying, "What the heck is this kind of upstart?" You know, there's a lot of radio stations that start with a goal of having really good ratings and building an audience, and they fail, Duane, as you know. And this one had just amazing success. And I've said this before, and you've been around a lot of legendary talk show hosts and stations. But, Duane, swear to God, having worked at two heritage stations, WTMJ and KMOX, I've never had an audience that is this loyal, this smart, this engaged. It's very unique. So while we don't have, you know, maybe we call this cume in radio, the biggest hundreds of thousands of listeners like maybe KMOX had in the heyday with the Cardinals, maybe a smaller number of listeners, but man, are they loyal. It's unbelievable. And it's really inspirational.
Yeah, it is. It very much can be. That's kind of like how Hugh Hewitt's audience is. We're not the biggest show in the country, but what we are is among the more influential because we've got such a loyal listenership and they get it. And that's what you get when you've been on the air for a long time. If you've been doing this for, you know, 25 years roughly, it's you start to build an audience, and they tend to be pretty loyal to you. And yeah, there is nothing like brand loyalty when you're in that chair. So congratulations.
Yeah, we love it. I can't wait to see the listeners tomorrow. Speaking of Hugh, I know that he talked about this. I haven't touched on this today. This was very bizarre. Jen Psaki, who is on some podcast.
I think the little Manchurian candidate, J.D. Vance, wants to be president more than anything else.
Yeah.
I always wonder what's going on in the mind of his wife. Like,
agreed.
Are you okay? Please blink four times.
Yes.
We'll come over here. We'll save you. And that he's willing to do anything to get there. And he's young.
Yeah. And ambitious.
And agile in the sense that he is a chameleon who makes himself into whatever he thinks the audience wants to hear from him.
Okay, whatever. But taking a shot at Usha there and saying that, you know, they want to try to save her from the evil J.D. Vance, what the hell was that about?
Well, you see, one, it's vile. Two, it's repulsive. Three, it's what you expect with an increasingly uncivil left. And what makes this so remarkable is on that same network, this is on a podcast, but Jen Psaki's on MS- whatever the hell they're calling it now, right?
right, yeah.
And so she's on MS something, and her colleague on MS something is Nicole Wallace, who had on Jeff Daniels, he of Dumb and Dumber fame, right? And Jeff Daniels brings his acoustic guitar as though he's going to lapse into James Taylor at any given moment. And Jeff Daniels is just lamenting the fact that there's no civility on the right. There's no civility with this president. He does this AI video after the No Kings protests and does this AI video of him in a cockpit of a fighter dumping stuff on rally goers. And we need more civility in this country. At the same time, on the same network, a colleague of his is insinuating that J.D. Vance is an abusive husband and that Usha is in a domestic disturbance situation and needs to blink for help. Which is so repulsive about this, because if you remember when Charlie Kirk got assassinated, right, in the days, especially the week afterwards, you know who was wrapping herself around Erica Kirk to help her get through that every day? That was Usha Vance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I can't even imagine going through being the spouse of someone like that who is in a high-profile
position.
She was
a rock.
Right.
She was a rock. And you don't get that by being a battered spouse syndrome person. That is a very strong marriage. It was just it's just an outrageously cheap thing to do. Now, why did she do it? She did it because the left is starting to give up on fighting Trump. I mean, they're going to keep flailing away at Trump, but they're giving up. They're worried about the next one. They're
sounds like
about
it. Yeah.
They're terrified of we don't have anything on our side to counter J.D. Vance. Because he's a force in nature in his own right. And so now they're trying to tear him up before we get to that election.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. Now, this is the other story today. I just love this one, Dwayne. I have to tell you, they're going so, you know, bat-blank crazy. I have lefty friends on Facebook. I typically, 90% of the time, I don't comment on things political because Facebook is a cesspool, right? And I post pictures of my bunny and my grandson and my daughter and my animals and all that. But I happened to go on there the last couple of days and I saw a bunch of people that are writing stuff. They're horrified by this, you know, this East Wing makeover. Here's Joe Scarborough.
It's hard to believe that any president could destroy the White House.
You can't help but wonder if he didn't wait until these protests were already done before today, he started literally physically tearing down the White House.
Previously said that the ballroom's construction would not affect the existing building here. Clearly not the case.
All right. Well, first of all, several lies. He's not tearing down the White House. You can look
no.
at an overhead map of where the East Wing is and where the West
yes.
Wing is. They're on the far sides of the White House. They're tearing down a small portion of what was now the East Wing to build a ballroom. It sounds pretty legit. Oh, they're using taxpayer. Oh, no, they're not using taxpayer dollars, are they? It's private donations. It's ridiculous, the reaction to this thing.
You think a Democrat president somewhere down the road, God forfend, but do you think it someday when a Democrat gets back in the White House, they're going to say, yep, we're going to tear down that ballroom, or are they going to use it?
They're going to love it because they're going to see how beautiful it is and how they can use it for bigger state dinners. This is what I said to a left-wing friend of mine out in your neck of the woods on Facebook. I said, okay, let me try this a different way. Let's just say for a moment, because what I said to him at first was, oh, yeah, you guys are all upset over a long overdue process. He goes, long overdue? I've never, you know, had anyone make the case for this. I said, all right, let's look at it from a different perspective. Let's just say that there are spots in the White House that maybe need a little tidying up and some changes. Why is it so horrifying to you that we're spending money that's not from the taxpayers to make that portion of the White House where we do hold state dinners nicer for the rest of the future? I mean, there's renovation after renovation that happens. Selena Zito was on. I played the cut of her. When Jackie O redid the interior, they did a damn live TV special on her.
Yes. Yes. They have Harry Truman gutted the entire inside. I mean, the only thing that existed when Harry Truman was there was the outer walls. The whole interior got completely redone.
But so, these people, Dwayne, are they're going, I mean, this is, I've seen, and you've seen Trump derangement syndrome at Hall of Fame levels. This one has pushed them over the top even more for whatever reason. You know, they like to put the picture up there. Look at what he's doing. It's symbolic of what he's doing to the country.
And it is so over the top. I mean, that's the TDS is what's driving the government shutdown still, right? I mean, you saw what happened over the last 24 hours in the Senate, right?
Well,
you didn't.
Well, I've seen some reference to people tying shoes during filibusters and things like that.
Okay, but you know what actually just happened, right?
I might not.
Okay, Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley late last night. Takes to the floor. Now, they've got a lot of open floor time now because they're not really doing anything, right?
Right.
And they were going to hold a vote yesterday to try to reopen the government again and force the Democrats to walk out onto the plank to screw over military and federal workers again. And Jeff Merkley took to the floor and started talking and started a good old-fashioned talking filibuster. He went for 22 hours consecutive to block the Senate from holding a vote to block the government from reopening. So we now have taken the stupidity of TDS in trying to hold the country hostage to stop Trump. We now are taking that stupidity and squaring it by filibustering the Senate to keep them from filibustering the country from reopening.
It's bizarre.
It's maddening.
It is madness.
It's maddening.
Okay, so
it's stupid squared.
And so because of that, I believe that makes the Trump administration and many of us say, all right, keep it closed. You guys, we're the ones voting to keep it open, so let's see where this takes us. And I don't want people to not get paid, especially members of the military, but I'm so sick and tired of their whining on the other side and misrepresentation and hypocrisy. That's why I have zero Fs to give on any of this because of their behavior. I don't care. Keep it closed through the rest of the year.
I don't want it to go that long because I don't want the military to get paid.
Well, I get that aspect, but
I want the Republicans to be the grown-up party. I want them to pull the nuclear option on the one standing rule that allows them to do CRs. If it's a clean CR and they change that from a 60 vote to a 51 vote on that clean CR, and I've talked to Jim Talent about this. He's totally on board with this as well. If we can make that one change, then government shutdowns, especially the stupid ones that have nothing to do with anything,
that wouldn't happen.
They go away.
Right.
You can still filibuster the appropriations bills and all the other legislation. You can still do the normal 60-vote stuff on it. But you take away the political stunt out of it, and you defang the entire fever swamp on the left from being able to hold the country hostage.
So why not do that? Dwayne Patterson is back with me from HotAir.com and the Dwayne's World podcast. Even John Fetterman said, yeah, let's do that.
They're afraid if they do that, that opens the Pandora's box for the Democrats, getting rid of the legislative filibuster when they get in power. They're going to do that anyway.
Well, they will.
So, yeah. So why not be the grown-ups and say, okay, if the Democrats are going to take their ball and go home, we're going to at least have the country go on and work and get people paid, and we're just going to change this one rule, and we're going to throw all the issues back in the committees where they belong and hammer out the healthcare thing, hammer out whatever else has to be fixed, but it's time to get back to work and quit playing games.
Yeah, it seems, look, even I mentioned Fetterman. Fetterman was honest about it. He goes, look, we campaigned on these issues, right? Why should we not support getting rid of the filibuster, especially on this issue?
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, the day will come. I've said this 1,000 times. The day will come when I go back to disagreeing with everything John Fetterman says. But today is not that day.
So you had to have illustrated, and this was written by David Strom, who was on my show last night. I love Dave over at Hot Air. But this tweet that went out from Senator Amy Klobuchar, which says early retirees like Bill and Shelley, and we have a picture of young Bill and Shelley, and I say young because they're not even over 60 years old, but they're going to see their health insurance premiums increase nearly 300% from $442 to $1,700 per month if congressional Republicans refuse to extend the enhanced tax credits. That's an extra $15,000 a year families can't afford. Of course, this is a couple that seems to be pretty well off. They retired in their early 50s. They don't work. They make $136,000 a year off of pension and IRA savings. That's probably a lowball amount because of the deductions. It's probably closer to $170,000 a year, and they want $15,000 a year from the taxpayers for their health care. That's their poster child.
Dear Bill and Shelley, is that who you said they are?
I think their names are, let's make sure here, Bill and Shelley. It is Bill and Shelley, yes.
Shelley. Dear Bill and Shelley, I'm sorry Obamacare was the train wreck that we told you it would be. I'm sorry Democrats crammed it through on a partisan vote. I am sorry that in the COVID year, the Democrats jammed through a five-year-long subsidy to make the program appear to be affordable when it no longer is. I'm even sorrier now that the 5 years has expired because of a Democrat partisan hand that you are going to be faced with the responsibilities of what happens when you vote for Democrats. Signed, every single Republican except Thomas Massey.
Well, that's true. You got it nailed down on that for sure. Dwayne Patterson, always great to have you on. I appreciate you. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
You too, dude. Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm gonna go over this story about the Gauls, Bill and Shelley here, because I think it's important. And when your left-wing friends start complaining about how poor people aren't going to have health insurance, remind them of this story. By the way, the other thing that I like to point out, because this gets used and it will be used, they'll talk about how Republicans are going to take your insurance away and that you won't have coverage if you have a pre-existing condition. Well, if you, this will come as a surprise to a lot of people, I think the year was 1997, but they passed a bill in 1997, Sue, that said that if you don't gap your insurance, right, if you have insurance, maybe you lose your job, but you have COBRA, you get some more insurance, right? If you don't gap your insurance, which most responsible adult people do, you will not be not covered for pre-existing conditions. The Democrats have lied about this for years, saying, you know, you won't have, if you don't gap, if you keep your insurance, because you see what might happen in the other situation. I have insurance. Now I don't have it. But if I get sick, you know, if I get cancer or anything that happens, well, I'm just going to sign up for insurance, right? That's not how it works, right? That's a little different than the way that even the ACA works. But a lot of people on the other side that love to lie about the pre-existing condition stuff, I'm surprised we're not hearing that right now. But let's talk about Bill and Shelley, because we're very worried about their increase from $442 to $1,700 a month. This is a couple that retired in their early 50s. They don't work. They live off the money, off pension and IRA. God bless them for retiring early. I wish I could do it right. They had a modified adjusted gross income of $123,000 in 2023 and $136,000 in 2024, pensions and IRA withdrawals, et cetera. But again, that's probably not even what they bring in, because after deductions, it's probably $170,000 or more. So as Mr. Strom pointed out at hotair.com, this is Amy Klobuchar in his state. He's up in Minnesota, offering what she thinks is a sob story of ordinary people who are going to be harmed by what will happen if the subsidies expire, which, by the way, have nothing to do with this continuing resolution. That's an issue that the Democrats put into the legislation during the pandemic, and then they extended it again. It was always intended to be short time. Now they're up for renewal, and they're worried because people's premiums are going to go up. Because, by the way, Bill and Shelley, we're getting a hell of a deal, and they are on their insurance. So now it's going to double. But the story says this. The average ACA marketplace enrollee faces a 114% increase in premium payments without the enhanced subsidies. But older middle to high income adults who are too young to qualify for Medicare face the largest dollar increases in premium payments, according to the analyses. They are perhaps the most vulnerable population when it comes to expiring subsidies. So did you hear what that was saying?
Yeah.
Older rich people, older white rich people are the ones that are going to get hit here. I thought the Democrats were kind of looking out for the people who need help and the poor people, not making the case for the rich people who retire earlier, right?
Yeah.
The average household with employer coverage, which we have here, it's about 2% of annual income on premiums in 2024. In the same year, the ACA cap premiums at 8.5% of a household's income. But Bill is quoted as saying, look, people like us, we need insurance. And it says if the Gauls family health insurance premiums jump and their medical expenses remain steady, the tally would likely represent more than a quarter of their annual income. With significantly higher health premiums, the couple said they would have to make tough financial and lifestyle decisions. How about you retire after the age of 60? Maybe you wait until 65. If you're not prepared and you have to make lifestyle changes after you're living high on the hog, living on the beach, and we have to pay for their lifestyle, sorry, that's not any empathy that I'm going to offer. I think that this is a legitimate issue for Republicans and Democrats to talk about after we open the government again. Senator Thune, the majority leader, has made it very clear. President Trump has made it very clear. So, you know, to Duane's point, they wrote Obamacare, the Democrats did. They passed it without one Republican vote. They created the credits without a single GOP vote. They extended the credits and chose this expiration date of December with no GOP votes. And it's the Republicans' fault. And it's the Republicans' fault always. But of course, the legacy media will never explain to you that side of the story.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, tomorrow is the big birthday party. Love to see it. Lit Cigar Lounge out in the district in Chesterfield. It's right there at Boone's Crossing, where The Factory, which is an outstanding music venue, they do comedy there and other things as well. That's where we brought Brian Kilmeade in the spring, and that's where Topgolf is out there. So that's like the opposite end of your existence here.
Yes.
In St. Louis, right?
Yep. That's okay.
It's like way across. You have to adjust some times. You and Fred will have to do some travel times out there to Chesterfield, right?
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah. I would argue that the way to the remote will be very easy, but then when we get off, although the party, you're going to hang out at the party a little bit, right?
Yeah, so it'll be later than rush hour.
Yeah, I'm told we have 250 8x10s of Sue that she has pre-signed, and then she'll sign whatever else you bring
that is,
for her tomorrow.
We don't have any shots of any of us.
Oh, you don't think we do.
Least of all me.
No, we really don't, because we have no resources for stuff like that, right? You remember when we used to have that stuff? The good old days.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Jeff Mordock is back with us. He is the White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, I'm surprised you can even join us and be a White House correspondent, because I've been told by the legacy media that the White House is gone. It's been destroyed. Trump has taken it down. It's never to be seen again, right? That's what I understand.
Yeah, it's just an empty hole. We don't even have a place to go now. We're just kind of wandering around. Well, just before you called, I just got out of the Oval Office where the president met with reporters, and he gave his strongest defense of the demolition of the East Wing so far, saying that the plans had to change because he was talking to architects, and the architects recommended the best course of action was to take part of that East Wing down. And then the president also got into about how, you know, it's really a small portion of the East Wing that has been changed over the years. It was recently renovated as recently as, you know, the 90s. Going back to the 40s, there had been renovations to that area. And this isn't really anything new. And that was the strongest defense we've seen from the president as criticism of this project continues to mount.
But, Jeff, I don't know if you have this perspective or not, but and I made the mistake yesterday, I've admitted this a couple of times, I went on Facebook. You go on and you see some of the posts that people are putting on social media where they're acting like the whole White House is just being torn down. It's a piece of history. And then you kind of start looking at the history, and the history's changed a little bit at the White House over the last 250 years, I would say. And it's just their heads are exploding because it's all about Trump and the hatred toward Trump. I said to a couple of people, just to try to be reasonable, friends of mine say, hey, can we maybe take a step back and say, perhaps there were some renovations that were needed for this portion of the White House, which, by the way, as you know, Jeff, the West Wing is on one side of that piece of property, the East Wing on the other side. The White House is right there in the middle, right? They're not tearing any of that down.
That's exactly right. The White House is in the middle. Yes, the East Wing, which is sort of for big events. As a matter of fact, I go to the Christmas party every year. That's hosted in the East Wing. All the work is done on the West Wing. It is more of the social aspect of the White House. And that's why the president feels that's where the ballroom needs to go, because that is where they're hosting the social events. When they have world leaders come in, that is usually where the side where those events take place. All the business workers, as a matter of fact, the desk for the reporters who work there where the briefings are, that's all on the West Wing. The president, the Oval Office is on the West Wing. And then kind of in the middle is the residence. But you're right. We have had, I mean, George W. Bush put in a jogging track. The Obamas put in a tennis court. Richard Nixon took out a swimming pool. Gerald Ford put in a swimming pool. I mean, we could go on and on with all the different presidents and all the different renovations that they've done over the history of the White House.
So once you get to the point with the lefties and you say, it's not even taxpayer money that's being used here. They say, what's bribes? Who's paying for it? Where's the money coming from? That's their initial reaction. So did those questions come up at all today?
Those questions have come up, and to be honest, to be fair, the White House has not answered most of those questions. They have not, you know, the president has said it's being paid for by private donors, but we don't have a list of those private donors yet. He has said he's paying for it with his money. He has not told us how much of his money he's putting in. So there's still a lot the White House does need to tell us about where this is headed and where some of the money's coming from. But it is private donations. They've been adamant that this is not going to cost taxpayers any money. And I think that's a really important thing. And I think that's a really important thing that your listeners should know, that it's not going to any money. And because of that, one of the criticisms you see online is, well, they didn't get permission from the National Capital Planning Commission. But the National Capital Planning Commission really only has to weigh in if we're using taxpayer dollars. Since we're not, you can circumvent that process.
Yeah, that's interesting. And look, what you just said here a couple of minutes ago, it's completely legitimate for you and other members of the White House press corps to ask for and to be given the receipts on who is paying for this and how this is all coming together. That's part of your job. So I don't think that that's unreasonable, and I would encourage the administration to cooperate on that front. But that's an interesting point about, you know, the commission and maybe a different protocol for something like this if taxpayer dollars were on the line.
Well, that's correct. And one thing I find very funny is the people who are complaining about this are demanding it goes before the National Planning Commission. The National Planning Commission right now is run by Will Scarf, who's a White House aide. He has been in charge of this, and he's a very close Trump associate. So this idea that this is going to go through there and they're going to be the stop is kind of silly, because when you see Trump sign executive orders, Will is the one who hands him the executive orders.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's going to, you think
he's our guy here from Missouri.
Yeah.
You know? Will, we know Will very well, Sharp, because he ran for attorney general, so he's very well known here, and we're very proud that he's the guy up there with the markers.
So, you know, it's kind of silly that once it goes to the National Planning Committee, the critics' stories are going to change from they didn't send it to the National Planning Commission to the National Planning Commission's a rubber stamp. You can't win.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, hey, while I have you here, Jeff Murdoch is the White House correspondent for The Washington Times. Anything that is shaken right now on the shutdown? I guess the Democrats had a little bit of a filibuster in the Senate last night. The Trump administration doesn't appear to be giving any inches right now. They're saying, look, we're going to have these discussions about the ACA subsidies after we pass the CR. Any movement on this right now?
No, and it's in nobody's interest to reopen the government. That's why this is dragged on as long as it has. The Democrats, it's in their interest to keep it shut down, because then they can talk about how awful and evil Trump is. He's keeping the government shut down. And for Trump, it's a chance to seize funding and fire workers that he doesn't think are working, funding that's going to Democratic cities, funding that he thinks is a waste of taxpayer dollars, and it gives him an opportunity to. So it's in his best interest to keep this going. So that's one of the reasons why we haven't seen a breakthrough, because everybody, I kind of thought we'd see maybe the Democrats fold a little bit after the No Kings protests have kind of and went, but no, it still seems like they're sticking. And the president is adamant he's not going to meet with anybody, as you said, until you get a CR passed.
So what's the end game? Because it now I'm hearing, you know, and I had Kilmeade on earlier this afternoon as well. He's the first one that told me last week he's here. Maybe this goes on till Thanksgiving. There's not going to be a buckling on the part of the Republicans, and the Democrats are going to have to be the side that's going to give here. Can you get a few more to come on over and, you know, use common sense and say, OK, we have a commitment? I mean, why is it so bad that Thune offers this commitment to have these discussions and insist that they're going to do it? If he doesn't do it, then you have a story, right? You pass the CR and they say, okay, Republicans reneged on this deal. But I don't see that happening. They'll have these discussions. There are Republicans in districts across the country that could potentially be affected by these changes.
Well, and one of the things I think is really interesting is Ron Johnson's got a bill out there now that's getting a lot of support to start paying federal workers. And once the federal workers are getting paid and the government shut down, how are the Democrats going to go up against that bill? That's going to be a real publicity problem for them.
That'll be interesting. Yeah, it will be. And then as far as members of the House, are they even there right now?
No, yeah. They are not there right now. Not really sure why not. They should be there. They should be working through this. But no, to answer your question, they're not.
They're not there. Okay. Well, we'll see where this takes us. Jeff Warnock from the Washington Times, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark. I always enjoy coming on.
Take
here.
Care. Let me get to some of the audio from some of the nonsense that's been going on here in the last couple of days. And I'll start with J.B. Pritzker, because, and this kind of goes off the topic of the shutdown and everything, but he's something else. He really is. And this notion of comparing anything, and Democrats are so comfortable with this soon, I don't really get it. The notion of comparing anything in 2025 with the great freedom and lives that we enjoy in this country, which I'm proud of every day, and it seems like the other side is not, to make any references or comparisons to Nazi Germany and what happened during the Holocaust are completely inappropriate.
Yes.
But the fat ass over there in Illinois, he keeps doing it.
We have to save this country from what Donald Trump is doing to it, because no, I do not want this country to become like other authoritarian regimes. People have criticized me for talking about the Nazi regime.
Yeah.
On the right,
yes,
people
we
have criticized me. It's the one I know most about, because I helped to build a Holocaust museum. And I can tell you, sitting next to Holocaust survivors, that what they will say in this moment is, this is what happened. This is what happened. People's rights started getting
Stop
taken away.
It.
People got accused of being immigrants. This is before the Holocaust really took place. People were accused of being immigrants, and then laws were passed to limit immigrants. And then people who weren't actually immigrants were called immigrants. And then it was othering people. And that led to a lot worse things.
Well, I don't even know what the hell he was trying to make a point of there. I mean, the immigration issue in and of itself is very simple. It is extremely simple. If you're not legally in this country, you need to go back and come through the proper channels. Okay.
Yes.
And if you're a criminal in particular, we do not want you back. What rights are being taken away from anyone? What rights in particular? This is what I loved about the No Kings rally. You have so many rights and freedoms. You go out there and make a buffoon of yourself, holding signs, be clowning yourself. Go for it. I mean, that's your right. But what is the point of it all? And where are rights? You have so many rights in this country that are not being taken away. You know when your rights were taken away? During COVID. And unfortunately, Trump was part of that because it was new. But the Biden administration took it somewhere else. You were forced to mask up when you went to the freaking beach.
I know.
You think your rights are being taken away?
What I'm saying is that this is how authoritarian regimes do it. They create these kind of fake ideas that there's an enemy out there and it could be sitting next to you at one of these tables.
All right, let's stop right there.
What?
Okay, he's talking about immigrants. Look, he thinks their side, Democrats, are for open borders, right? And if you're a Democrat who's not for that, and we do have some sane people who come on our show, well, you need to make that clear, because your people, your side, your leader, drooling on himself for 4 years, allowed, and I think 12 million is a low number, million, let's say it's just 12 million. Let's say it's 10 million. Let's go low.
Okay.
That crossed the border over 3.5 years. And now those crossings are down to pretty much nothing.
Yep.
And we were told by these esteemed Democrat leaders who now want to make this about, you know, something else with the shutdown and you know, get apoplectic about renovations to the White House. The things that they said during that time are embarrassing in the stances that they took. And here they are trying to tell us, and this is what the media does and shouts us down, that the Republicans are on the wrong side of this. We're done with it. We won't have any more of this, which is why it's unique that most people are sticking to their guns here. You don't have Republicans caving
no.
on this particular issue. I do have audio cut of the day still to come this afternoon. I have a couple of things that I have highlighted for audio cut of the day, but there was, in my great producing team, Fred and Ethan. Of course, when we say Fred, you got to hear Kenny.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
They do a great job. You know, Fred does all the audio and Ethan as well. I send clips throughout the day. And I had him pull this one because I saw Sam Ponder, former ESPN star, talking about this. And she lives in New York. She's been, Sue, one of the rare female, well, I would say one of the rare members of the media that's gone out there on a ledge on the transport issue and has been on Riley Gaines' side, Michelle Tafoya. She's been very outspoken. Of course, you know, she did that after she left ESPN, but she lives in Manhattan and she has a daughter and she goes to a basketball game where her middle school daughter is guarding an obviously naturally born male in a girls' tournament. And there's parents around her that are cheering while this boy is completely dominant against the girl. And guess who loses?
Yeah, let me guess.
The all-girls team lost, right?
There is no way that in this country, especially in sports, you shouldn't be able to say on your own social media accounts, I don't think men should be in women's sports. Yeah. This is something I talk to athletes all the time. 99.9% of professional athletes, like, we know this is ridiculous. And the fact that we haven't been able to say it boldly, but with kindness and some humility, is insane. It is insane that we've gotten to this point in sports that we can't just be honest about what's true and not be a jerk about it, but just say, yeah, you're not putting a male in my daughter's locker room. It's not happening.
By the way, Sam Ponder was very empathetic in some of the things she says. She said, this poor child, she's not talking about her children. She's talking about the trans kid. This poor child has been emotionally and mentally abused into thinking there was something wrong with his body. He is the victim, not the bully. So that's an interesting, and I think it's the parents. The parents here are the ones that's involved. But I cannot envision a situation. My daughter plays volleyball, and she's playing soccer right now. She's played other sports. I can't imagine going to one of these volleyball games and cheering her team on, facing, or even prefer, let's say that they have the trans kid on her team, that I could be sitting there cheering for the trans kid, knowing that that kid is completely physically dominant over the opposing team and fellow players.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
It is.
And it's so sad, and I don't know. I'm hoping. We've talked to folks about this, even Riley Gaines. We need more A-list current athletes to stand up and say something about this. It can't be people who have been retired. There have to be people who come to the forefront in a more vocal manner to say enough is enough. And why they're so afraid of it, I don't get. Because 90% of the country is on their side. And they still don't have the guts to do it, unfortunately. All right, let's do this here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, well, this whole East Wing renovation story has gotten out of control. Like, here's Joe Scarborough.
It's hard to believe that any president could destroy the White House.
You can't help but wonder if he didn't wait until these protests were already done before today, he started literally physically tearing down the White House.
Previously said that the ballroom's construction would not affect the existing building here. Clearly not the case.
Yeah, first of all, lies. He's not tearing down the White House. Never was. Never will. Took down a portion of the East Wing, which is going to be renovated into a ballroom. And zero taxpayer dollars will pay for this.
The White House is going to have a big, beautiful ballroom for generations of Americans to come. And the best part of it all, it's not a dime of the taxpayers' money.
We're building a world-class ballroom. You know, for 150 years, they've wanted a ballroom here. We don't have a ballroom. We have a little cocktail area, but we don't have a ballroom. The East Room, it's called, is a very small cocktail area. It holds about 88 people if it's tight. And I said, if I do this again, I'm going to get a ballroom built, and we're putting up our own money. The government is paying for nothing. You probably hear the beautiful sound of construction to the back. You hear that sound? Oh, that's music to my ears. I love that sound. Other people don't like it. I love it, Josh. I think when I hear that sound, it reminds me of money. In this case, it reminds me of lack of money because I'm paying for it. So it's the opposite.
Now, I don't disagree that the media has an appropriate role in all this, saying, okay, where did the money come
right.
from?
Okay, that's
maybe
fair.
There's some accounting here. But the way that they have lost their minds in not only the legacy media, but some people that I'm still friends with on Facebook that have always lost their minds over Trump and have really severe cases of Trump derangement syndrome. If you know someone like this, or if you are someone like this, please seek help immediately. I don't know that there's ample help out there for you, ample help, because people, Sue, I'll never understand the psychology of this. They are, I've been around politics all my life. I've hated politicians. I've liked politicians. I've never, and I don't think it's very healthy to be that obsessed about someone that really is having very little, you know.
I know.
Little effect on your life. And if he is having an effect on your life, it's because your 401k is up, because look at the damn stock market right now.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.